There's a high fly ball. It should be all over. Geronimo's under, and Cincinnati has won the World Championship, beating the Boston Red Sox 4-3. The Reds win it in Fenway Park.
Two balls, no strikes. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. This could be it. Left field. George Foster makes the catch. That's it. The Cincinnati Reds win the World Series. It was a sweep. The final score, Cincinnati 7, the New York Yankees 2.
Hello, Reds country. Reds country radio coming your way. Mr. Doug, our resident Reds fan. Doug, how the hell are you?
I am doing pretty good right now. Good start to the season so far.
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, yeah, would you love to be in first place? Absolutely. But you're talking about having a 4-3 record. I'll take that any day of the week. Hey, look at the Marlins, right? I mean, am I right? Someone check on your Marlin friends. Check on Trosh. 0-8 out the gate. Woo! Mercy. We're going to go ahead and talk about the – let me see if I can get that position just a little bit. There we go. There it is above the scrolling banner. Make sure to become a Country Club member today. Country Club members, you get this show instantly. So as soon as we get done, we post it, you get it. Folks, who are not Country Club members, you're going to get it around first pitch of the game of that day. We've also got Red Sox country that comes your way. It'll be about 2-3 times a month you see Doug in Reds country. About 2-3 times a month you're going to see Sergeant Timus Wooten of the U.S. Army in Red Sox country. So there you go. I may have another one on the way, but I don't want to get in front of myself. All right. And, of course, you get all the Braves country stuff. So there you go. Today, Reds country, what we're going to focus on is the Cincinnati Reds, the NL Central, and maybe talk a little National League if we have time. So let's go ahead and get into it, Doug. So Milwaukee's off to a phenomenal start. I still don't think it's sustainable. I don't think Milwaukee is going to have the wherewithal and the depth in the starting pitching to be able to hold that lead. Nor do I believe Pittsburgh's going to hold, right? Mm-hmm. So Honest Engine, as I'm looking at this, I'm really more concentrating on the fact that the Reds are one game behind the Cubs, and I'm not as concerned about the fact that they're a game and a half behind Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. I'll put it this way. I give Pittsburgh a better chance of making some miracle run than Milwaukee because I think they're selling at the deadline as well.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, you still got to play the games. By the way, the St. Louis Cardinals are in last place. They're only 4-4, so the whole division is 500 or better. What's your take on the first long week of the 2024 season in Reds country?
Coming out of this, we got to talk about the defense, total team defense, but especially with Ellie De La Cruz right now. I can't stand to watch him play the position right now.
So what are you talking about? Errors, mental errors, unforced error? Like what's your
every type
right?
of error? I mean, just playing the position at all. Second game against Philly, two unforced errors. Just the total nonsense play, flipping the ball behind him, it goes in the right field. He looks like he doesn't even know how to play the position.
Now, the one thing that I'm not familiar with De La Cruz, Ellie De La Cruz, when he was coming up in the minors, was he a shortstop always?
He was actually a third baseman.
That's what I thought because, and I only know this from fantasy baseball, when he came up with the designation of third base and shortstop. And they usually put the one that they're bred to be, trained to be, in front. So I do remember it was 3B/SS. If it was like Orlando Arcia type of thing, it would be SS/ 3B.
Exactly.
So what is, are there rumblings? Are there, is, I mean, are, is there real talks about putting him over at third?
Right now, the whole war is just about, it's like he doesn't care. He does kind of what I would call Yasiel Puig kind of things. I mean, he doesn't know where to throw the ball. He does this kind of cute, flips it behind his head to second base, which was one of the errors against the Phillies in their second game. He can't hit the ball. I mean, he's got a 50% strikeout rate. And then the other night he struck out and he kind of looked at everybody and shrugs his shoulders and just kind of walks away. So, I mean, you've got two warring camps with Reds fans right now. I'm in the camp that if we had Matt McClain or anybody else to play the position right now, I'd bench him at least two or three games to get his, you know, to set a bow across his head and let him know this is inexcusable how you're playing.
So, I mean, obviously they're not going to send him down.
They can't send him down. They can't even bench him. Because don't have Matt McClain.
What they've created is a media superstar, right? So if you go out there and you bench him per se, and I'm talking about, because you'd have to bench him for a few games to actually, it means something. Benching a baseball player in one game doesn't mean anything. It's not like football, right? Like,
right.
Players in baseball get days off all the time. So they're, unless you were specifically saying to the media, we are benching them because of this, this, and this, it doesn't really going to hit home. So, and Ellie De La Cruz, I mean, we're talking about a young kid that, I mean, honestly, he's going to have growing pains. He's going to have, look, I'll give you an example in Braves country. When Ronald Acuna Jr. came up, he did a lot of dumb things. I mean, a lot of dumb things. And there were a lot of Braves fans, and I was a part of Braves country where I could see the talent. I wasn't a dummy, right? I could see the talent. But what it kept coming back to me was, you're going to have to teach him to play the right way. You're going to have to teach him the fundamentals of the game. You obviously blew that down in the minor leagues, but you can't reverse it because the talent is too obvious. So it's going to take more of, it's almost like to me, and this is from an outsider looking in, but it sounds like to me, you're going to have to take a kid who is, what is he, 22?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to take a kid and have someone almost mentor him, take him under their wing, and teach him the right way and the wrong way to play the game. See, that was one of the frictions when it first came up. Acuna and Freddie Freeman did not see eye to eye. Freddie was trying to teach him the quote-unquote Braves way, and Ronald Acuna Jr. says, this is the new era. What ends up happening is they have a little tension when Freddie walks away and goes to L.A. There was more rumblings about it then than before, and what ends up happening when it's all said and done is Acuna is now becoming looked upon as a leader, so now, I'm not going to say he was forced to, but he was essentially forced to kind of put his big boy pants on. Now, I think the one guy that was able to get the most out of him, and I'm not going anywhere on the coaching staff, it was Ozzie Albies. Ozzie Albies has always been just a little more mature. For whatever reason, he just seems to get it. Do you see someone in the Reds locker room, like a player specifically, obviously Joey Votto is gone, but a player that you think that De La Cruz could maybe almost be magnetized to want to quote-unquote play the game the right way?
In that locker room, I would say maybe Jonathan India, because India has always been kind of a locker room leader anyway.
Do you have any idea if they have any kind of friendship? I mean, like, you know, close friendship?
Yep. Interesting enough, his closest friendships have been with, like, Matt McClain. And let me see, who else he's the oldest associate. Now, his best friend is on another team with Juan Soto because he spent all offseason with him working on his batting. But in locker room, Matt McClain is probably his closest friend.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking at the roster. I really can't. I'd be guessing as an outsider on who could take over that role. You know, I would think a Spanish-speaking player would be the ideal, right? Someone who not necessarily has to be from the Dominican like Ellie, but someone who can talk to him on his level. And maybe it's not an everyday position player. Maybe it's, I don't know. Is Alexis Diaz the type of a leader?
Frankie Montas has been helpful, but he's been more helpful with Hunter Green getting his situation straightened out and pitching better.
He's also brand new to the team as well, right?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at – it doesn't look like there's a lot of options on the coaching staff either. But anyways, it's food for thought. Somebody's going to have to take a – someone's going to have to take it upon them to say, hey, you have got to do things the right way. Follow my lead. He's from New York, but I almost wonder if a 30-year-old Jaime Candelario may be able to be the type of guy that could kind of teach him the way. But it's going to have to be someone that Ellie is magnetized to and wants to listen to. You can't force it. It's got to be organic. You can't just assign someone, go, needle him a little bit. It's got to be someone that he's going to actually look up to. And I guess it's going to be, there comes a certain point where it's going to be up to the player.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving on from that, Hunter Green looked phenomenal on Friday night. I think that's got to be a great sign for the Reds, the fact that, now look, we get it. It was against the Mets, and the Mets offense sucks. The Mets, you know what's funny is that you look at the Mets this year, and you look at the fact that everyone's like, well, they're going to be terrible. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. But it's not the offense that they got rid of. They got rid of their pitching, right? This mm-hmm. is supposed to be essentially, now maybe they would have made one more move in the offseason, but this is essentially the offense that they were supposed to go to bat with, to war with DeGrom, you know, a healthy DeGrom and a healthy Verlander, and a healthy Max Scherzer was the big picture. Then it turned into Scherzer and Verlander. This offense is terrible. But to Hunter Green's credit, you got to go out and shut down the awful offenses. Because if you don't shut down the awful offenses, then what the hell are you doing? And he did it at home in a place where the ball flies. What did you see on a Friday night from Hunter Green?
I saw Hunter Green that did exactly what he was supposed to do. I mean, you got to win the games against the bad teams, the bad offensive teams. And he did that. And that new slider that he's supposed to be throwing actually worked.
Yeah, look, a guy that can go out there and make the move, make a start like that on, correct me if I'm wrong, that was opening night for Cincinnati, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean, not opening night, but the first Friday night back. But the assumption when you put a Hunter Green out on the mound is just like any big pitcher, you have got to give your team a chance to win when you pitch. Because there's going to be plenty of games out there when the fourth and fifth starter out there rolling around that it's going to beat up the bullpen, and the Reds' offense is going to have to be what gives them a chance. But when Green goes to the mound, and look, Frankie Montas, I was dead wrong about that during the offseason. I didn't think I thought he had lost it. He looks good. He looks very good.
We tell him he's in Oakland.
Man, or I guess it'll be Sacramento by this time next year, right?
Yeah.
What a mess that is. We're leaving Oakland to go to Sacramento. We may be going to Las Vegas, but nobody really knows. It's you know, on that point, it's so funny to watch the fake rage on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and all the other, is that these fans who are not Oakland fans. Look, if you're an Oakland A's fan, you grew up in Oakland, and you live in Oakland, and your team's leaving you, I get that rage. I get it. But the fake rage of the random person who just wants attention, and they play the whole, poor woe is me, it's not fair. You haven't competed. As far as fans, you have not gone out and showed your fandom for 20 years. For 20 years. And they've had some damn good teams in Oakland. Right? Don't act like that this is a franchise that didn't compete for the Oakland A's over the last, I'll say 25 years. Three out of every 4 years, they were always in it. It might have been a low payroll, but they didn't have any damn people in the stands. They always showed up to the playoffs. That does not keep a baseball team afloat. Ask the Miami Marlins. Ask the Tampa Bay Rays. It's the reason why the Marlins are eventually going to go to Montreal and the Tampa Bay Rays are eventually going to go to, like, Nashville or whatever. Because you can't just show up for the playoffs and when the Red Sox or Yankees come to town. So it's, but anyways, getting a little off track, but that drives me nuts when I see this fake rage. I've only seen a couple of the national pundits that has called it like it is. Chris Russo
I would throw more blame towards Tampa Bay with the Rays just quick, because that city and that area begged for a Major League Baseball team for years. And then when you get one,
they've got every excuse under the sun on why they don't go to the games. Well, it's hard to get over the bridge. If you want to go to the damn game, you'll go to the damn game. Don't act like they got to build it in your backyard. Literally, if I have to walk more than a block, I'm not going to the game. Then you're not going. Then you're not a fan. I saw a guy that you know, some people kind of dragged him a little bit, but he said, "I can't wait. My office overlooks the stadium they're going to be playing in." He's in Sacramento, wherever his office is. I don't know if he's a lawyer or whatever. Wherever his office is, he's evidently he can look out. He'll be able to see the game. And the fans will go out there. I guarantee the fans of Sacramento will go out there to support him, even a bad baseball team.
And yeah, Sacramento is a good sports town, believe it or not.
It is. And if something falls through, look, if you're an Oakland A's fan in the Oakland area, it's actually a good news to you, because they may not go as far west or east as Las Vegas. They may actually end up staying in the state of California. I don't think that's where they want to go. I think they want to be in Vegas, but the whole question about that stadium, whether it's going to get built or not, there's still a lot of questions about that. But there's one chucklehead. I forget his name, but he used to be in the Marlins front office and a couple other places. And I see him on CBS Sports HQ. I think that's where he currently works. But I typically see him on my it's either TikTok or YouTube Shorts or something that I scroll through and I see him. And he's always complaining about it, the fact that they shouldn't be leaving. What the hell are you talking about? First of all, you couldn't get anyone to come to the damn Marlins games. the biggest travesty is that they built that new stadium in Miami in 2012, I think it was, and sold the whole community on how this is going to save baseball fans are going to come from Miami. Well, you know, you got a huge Cuban population. They're going to come to the game. No, they haven't. Miami's a terrible sports town. Ask any Hurricane fan. That poverty football program hasn't been relevant in 20 years. And it's not because you keep hiring crappy coaches. It's because you're not putting butts in seats and nobody can. The only game that the Miami Hurricanes routinely sell out is every other season they host the Florida State Seminoles and they come out for that one. But half the stadium's filled with Florida State fans. So are you really selling it out? I mean, I don't know if you are. If there's a lot of garnet and gold in there and you're sitting there with the orange and green, come on. Now, unfortunately for a college, I've never heard of one. You can't relocate your college. But I think if the Hurricanes could, they would. If they would, wouldn't that be something someday? The Miami Hurricanes are heading to Nashville. What? You can't do that. Dude, Vanderbilt sucks. No one's going to their games. We're going to play our games in Nashville.
And Steven would be weeping for years to come.
That's coming at some point. I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime, but you're going to see it. A situation where you got a big city, you can put butts in the seats, and though the Miami model, right, the college still stays in Miami, they'll start playing their games in Nashville, Tennessee, or Jacksonville, Florida, or something. It's going to happen because of the NIL and all the other. Eventually, they're going to go, Well, if we keep playing here, no one's coming to our games. Let's make money somewhere. I hope I'm alive to see that because that will be a funny one. Welcome to New York City, where the Florida Gators host the Georgia Bulldogs. It's snowing here at the greatest outdoor cocktail party in the world. All right, back to baseball. Abbott pitches Sunday. Lodolo pitches Sunday in the minors. He gets his last, what they're calling his last rehab start. Lodolo expected to probably come up late next week. They could decide to do one more start, but it's trending like, and this is where everyone had it, was about middle of April. I think most people had it earmarked around the 10th, and that's essentially when he would come up. What are you looking from Abbott on tomorrow's start?
In my opinion, he's got to have a sharp game because Abbott's been on the fringe of being sent back down. He earned the fourth spot, but I think that was more with injuries because – like I said, Lodolo's been gone. Williamson's probably been gone for 2 or 3 months. So he kept his spot. What they'll decide with Lodolo coming back is how well he pitches on Sunday and who they'll send down and who they'll keep. Now, Nick Martinez, I don't think he has anything, whether he pitches good or not today, he'll put him back into the bullpen rotation.
Yeah, and look, he was a guy that they weren't expecting to do anything but eat innings one way or the other. He was either going to be a long man in the bullpen or he was going to be a short timer in the rotation. And from time to time, I could still see Nick Martinez coming in being an opener type or what's the new term they use? The swing man. So not the guy that opens the game, but the guy that goes like second inning through the fourth type of thing.
I always just call him spot start.
And you can't expect him to be lights out. But all in all, Andrew Abbott, like, I don't know what the gripe could be. I mean, he went 5 1/3 innings against Philly in his only start of the year so far. He gave up 2 earned runs. He did walk 2, but he struck out 4. I mean, that's a pretty good start.
I thought so too, but there's still rumblings in the Reds organization that they don't trust him. And I don't know why.
I mean, not to mention the fact he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So not only was he playing a very good offense, he was playing in a popcorn stand.
Exactly.
I don't get it. I don't understand why you would even think about. To me, the obvious move if Lodolo comes back would be Martinez to the bullpen.
And then you got to. They're going to put that now after the game yesterday with the Mets. The guy that needs to go back down is Victor Cruz. Coming in relief and giving up, 3 walks and the winning run yesterday, and acting like he had a great day afterwards. So. Send him down, Abbott keeps his spot, and life should be good.
Fernando Cruz, 1 inning. I'm pulling up his numbers now. 1 inning.
3 walks, I think.
3 walks, 1 earned run, and 2 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. Blowing the which should have been a win for Hunter Greene.
Yep.
Now, what is it? Now, what is his makeup as far as Fernando? Because I'm not as familiar with him. Let me take a look at him real quick. So far, so he's pitched four innings this year, or four and a third. He's only given up two runs. That could just be a bad outing. It's the only outing he's had this year so far, by the way, that where he's walked anybody. Now, you never want to see a guy walk three, especially to the Mets. I mean, go out there and face him. But the other outings in Philly, granted, the other two were against Washington. I get it. Washington stinks. But it wasn't the Great American Small Park. So he's still facing. It's not like Washington doesn't have any good hitters. I mean, they got some pretty decent hitters in that lineup. It's their pitching that's going to fail Washington. He struck out four, by the way. He struck out all four outs on March 30th. Got four outs and four strikeouts. I haven't watched him pitch. I don't believe. Is he a fireballer?
Yes.
Most of those guys get a longer leash than you would expect. But obviously, if Lodolo comes up, somebody's going to be the odd man out. And if Martinez goes to the bullpen, someone from the bullpen is going to go down on the farm.
Cruz. I mean, I hate to say it, too. There's another guy in the bullpen that probably might go back down, and I don't know why. Because they're paying him a lot. It's Buck Farmer.
Oh, I haven't heard his name in a long time. I remember Buck Farmer. I always thought that was a funny name.
I was there, too.
Because I swear it's nothing like it, but it makes me think of the George Costanza bit where he's talking about he's got a porn name and it's Buck Naked. So here, Buck Farmer. Let's see what he's done so far. He's pitched 2 2/3, given up 2 earned runs. He's walked 2, 1 hit by pitch, so essentially walked 3. I mean, I could see that. If they want, it looks like Cruz has more swing and miss stuff, but that could come down to, I don't have it in front of me, that could come down to who has options and who doesn't have options.
Exactly.
Well, this doesn't shock me at all. Buck Farmer is from Conyers, Georgia. I remember him as a Tiger, but I didn't realize he played at Georgia Tech in college.
Yes.
So that's pretty funny. Maybe that's why I was so familiar with his name, because I do watch a lot of ACC, or used to watch a lot of ACC baseball. Lodolo, when he comes back, I know the big question is going to be, what do you get out of Lodolo? He's always got the swing and miss strike stuff. It's whether or not he can keep ducks off the pond and runs off the board. But I do think that I think long term, the talent is there. And we got such a small sample size in 2023, but the talent is there. I'm excited to see him come back.
I am too. I'm just, the thing I'm worried about with him, can he just keep himself healthy?
Right.
Just stay healthy and we'll find out.
A lot of times that's the name of the game. I mean, the Braves are waiting an MRI on Spencer Strider. That's some pretty scary stuff. He had elbow discomfort, and they're awaiting the MRI. We should get the answer sometime today, but it may be later. I can double check real quick to make sure it hasn't broke already. But typically, they when they say going for an MRI in the morning, they're talking about it's probably already happened. But have they gotten the actual diagnosis, I guess is the best word for me to say. I'm hoping it's just something where it's very, very there is a Braves fan on Twitter. The first thing that I see when I put up Spencer Strider is I don't know how he did it, but he's got some kind of emoji with a candle. And he's got Spencer Strider in the middle. I was sharing on the other screen, take too long. But he's got Spencer Strider's name in the middle, and he's put emojis of candles all the way. So basically like a candle prayer vigil. I've never seen that before. That's about the funniest damn thing I've seen in a long time. I'm sure other folks have done it for other players. I've never seen that personally. That's hilarious. And how is that thing not like retweeted 6,000 times already? It's already been up 58 seconds. Like I expect that thing to be thum, thum, thum. There's even a Mets fan saying the game is better when Spencer Strider's on the mound. Let me see if there's any actual news. Well, I know who would have the news, so let me go directly to him. Now, I know this is a Red show, but this would give us an idea of what's going on in the rest of the National League. Because if he's hurt, nothing new on Mark Bowman. So I don't know. All right. I'll keep looking. And if something breaks before the end of the show, I'll let you know. But let's take a look at the rest of the National League after the first week of baseball. I don't think there's a lot of surprises other than what's going on in the NL Central. But like I said, I still think Milwaukee and Pittsburgh are paper Tigers. I give Pittsburgh a better chance. I love the makeup of Pittsburgh. I think they're building it the right way. I just feel like they're a year away from being a real contender. What say you?
I agree with you. I mean, their schedule so far has been kind of light. So I don't think this is a true foreshadowing of what the Brewers or the Pirates are going to do. It's still down to us and the Cubs. We're the only ones that's shown any talent so far this season. I mean, I give the Cubs, even though I have to kind of cross my fingers and not want to throw up, but the Cubs are a good team. They played a real good game yesterday against the Dodgers, winning 9-7. So,
yeah. So the Dodgers to me are interesting. Because I'm going to give you a bold prediction. I won't say the whole, but I'll say four of the starting pitchers for the Los Angeles Dodgers in September are not currently pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers right now. Because you look at the injuries that they have, and they're just going to try to mash their way to wins. And they're not in a division that I think will compete with them, so they're going to run away with it. The Diamondbacks are a very good team, but the Diamondbacks are a much better team in a series than they are for 162 games, especially with the injury to E-Rod.
Right.
San Diego, no way, no how. San Diego, no. I'm not buying them. San Francisco, head-to-head versus the Dodgers, they're just going to lose out every time. I mean, they got smoked by the Dodgers, and that's why they're sitting at 3-5. But San Francisco is going to scrape out wins. They're just not going to do them against the Dodgers. The Dodgers score too many damn runs, and the Giants are a team that wants to keep it low scoring, win games in the end, kind of like they did yesterday. Good 3-2 home win versus San Diego. That is a Giants baseball game to me. In the modern era of San Francisco Giants for the last 6 years or so, that's Giants baseball. So the Dodgers are going to cruise, but they've got a pitching rotation right now that I'm not convinced is going to be. Look, Bobby Miller looked terrible on Friday. Now, he looked phenomenal the first game, so you're never as bad or as good as your worst or best start, right? But Bobby Miller and Yamamoto might be the only two guys that I'm buying that'll be in that rotation. So I might fall a little bit to where it's more like three. But look at the guys they got on the way. I mean, let's think about the fact that we don't even have a timeline for Clayton Kershaw, but I'm assuming he'll be back sometime. Walker Buehler really isn't that far away from coming.
Yeah, he's looking at I think it's a mid-May return.
At the latest. At the latest. Yeah. I mean, I think they could have brought him back earlier, but I think they're trying to manage his innings. So right now, from what I've seen of the updates, he's getting long breaks in between starts down on the farm. So I look, if they really needed him, he could be up essentially tomorrow, because he's stretched his pitch limits up to where he could start in a game. But I think they just want him to take – I think they want him to be at the point where he's like, can I get – all right, enough already, and then put him out there, right, as opposed to trying to rush him back. But the Dodgers, I don't even worry about the West. It's going to go to the Dodgers. The question will be what will the record be? Will they have the best record or the second best record? That's really the only thing about the Dodgers you worry about. Arizona, I do believe, is going to be in the fold for the division still. Nothing's changed my mind on that. Same thing with Philadelphia. I get it. Philadelphia off to a little bit of a rough start. They're 3-4. They're scuffling. That doesn't worry me. Philadelphia's a team that never goes to the post at the beginning of the year. By midseason, they start hit the ground running. But I think you can already start eliminating people from the playoffs in the National League. Are you ready? Colorado ain't going anywhere, baby. Their season's over. I don't even know how the hell they got two wins. They're terrible. They are absolutely god-awful. Watching Colorado baseball is cruel and unusual punishment, and it should be banned by the Constitution of the United States. They have a run differential right now of 31 runs. They've only played 8 games. 31 runs. In second place, their season is over. The Miami Marlins, goodbye. Their run differential, Doug, 30 runs. How the hell do we have two teams in the National League who they both played 8 games, have run differentials of, what are we talking about, 3.5 runs a game already?
Yeah.
And it's not like one of these games was 27-2, right? They've been methodically beaten down. Washington Nationals, though they're going to be fun to watch, I think they're going to score a lot of runs. You could go ahead and eliminate them. New York Mets, bye-bye. I don't even know how the hell you won that game last night, but you've had to pull two out of the crack of your ass in back-to-back games against Detroit, where they were getting no hit for 13 innings and a doubleheader. And then last night, essentially Cruz blew it for the Reds, right?
I'll tell you how they won that game last night real quick. Reds can't hit against left-handers.
Well,
that's a big problem with them.
That is going to be a problem. But already I think you can eliminate 4 teams out of the playoffs. I mean, you can make a little bit of an argument for the Mets. Their season isn't over. I mean, it would be much worse had they not pulled out those two, and they're 0-7, right? Instead, they're 2-5. But you're not going to convince me that they're going to win the National League East, because even if the Braves were to fall off the rails and have a bad year, I don't think they could catch the Phillies in a 162-game season. So it's over, and they're not going to win enough games to be a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
The NL Central is the one division I have not eliminated anybody from. And a lot of times you'll get it, man. You'll get it. You'll get, damn, this one, it ain't happening. And I thought we would have gotten it by the Brewers by now. But the Brewers actually leading the division. I still think, now here's a telltale sign about the Brewers. They're 5-1. Any guess what the run differential is right now? They've won 5 games, lost 1.
25?
4.
Oh.
4. That tells you that 5-1 is random.
Yeah.
You know, the Reds have a 6-run differential, but they're only 4-3. That makes a little more sense. The Cubs are 5-2, have a 12-run differential, which is typical. Pirates, 16-run differential at 6-2. They played out of their mind, but they also had a really easy beginning to their season. Braves 22 at 4-2. That's really good. That's usually not the norm. You'd really expect it more around the 16 range at four wins and two losses. But my point is, Milwaukee is doing it with smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to last. So, before we get out of here, give me your walk-off after a little over a week of Cincinnati Reds baseball as we wrap up Reds Country Radio.
Overall performance, I like what I'm seeing. But defensively, we got some work to do. Especially, and you know, we didn't talk about it earlier. I'm just going to throw it out there. We got some attitude problems with Stuart Fairchild and Carson Strand. And it's something David Bell has got to address.
Oh, Strand as well?
Well, Strand is, he makes mistakes and then tries to pretend like he didn't make mistakes. He doesn't show up at press conferences, blames the other players.
You don't like that. I don't like the guy who doesn't show up at press conferences.
He hit the winning home run and then came to the press conference, and it's all about, you know, it's all about him. So yeah, it's something that David Bell needs to address.
See, that got under my craw at the end of the NLDS 2023. Acuna dipped from the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Or it may not have been press conference, but post-game interviews. He said something to the effect of, I think it was something like, I don't speak English or something like that. Something smart ass walked out. The one thing I'll give Acuna credit for, he's still a young kid, man. And he's very immature, and he's even addressed it. But the one thing I'll give him credit for, first day back in Braves camp in spring training, he apologized to the team and the media for doing what he did. A lot of folks, let's be honest, would hope that it went under the rug. That's been 4 months, they've forgotten about it. I've got to give him credit. Now, he was probably told to do that. Maybe he talked to other people in his camp, or maybe Ozzie Albies. I don't know. But somebody got through to him and said, you don't do that. You got to be a man, right? So hopefully I don't ever give up on these kids until they're no longer kids.
Yeah.
If you're a jackass at age 35, then I've got a big issue, right? If you're Draymond Green, you're just never going to get it, right?
Yeah.
But if you're being a dumb kid, dumb kids get, you know, if you're LeBron James in your 40s, you're always going to be full of crap, right? But there are many, see, that's, I think a lot of us lose that with sports. We are watching these kids grow up in front of our eyes. There's a lot of pressure on them. And a lot of them haven't had a, you know, especially with a guy who gets to the major leagues as quick as Ellie De La Cruz has. A lot of them haven't had as much adversity as a lot of other folks have. Don't get me wrong. They had to work hard to get where they were, but they were so damn talented it came easy, right? So all mm-hmm. of a sudden they're playing against guys who are just as good as them, and the failures come more often in baseball than any other sport, and I think sometimes it's hard for them to process it. I'm not giving excuses, but I'm saying don't give up on Ellie De La Cruz. Just remember he's a kid. You know, I'm impressed with the growth that I've seen from Ronald Acuna Jr. And then he let me down in walking out of the press conference last year or post-game interview. But he redeemed himself. It's always a constant thing. You know, we're not raising them, but they do feel like your kids sometimes because you watch their entire life unfold. Not everybody is going to be a stand-up guy like Austin Riley across the board. Everyone's got different backgrounds, different parents, and all that kind of stuff. So don't get up on him yet. But I will say this. If he's acting like a jackass in 5 years, then he's always going to be a jackass. And at that point,
well,
you have
to decide. I would just quickly just tell Strand and De La Cruz, watch how Spencer Steer plays baseball and adapt that attitude.
Fair enough. But they have to want to, right? They've got to be drawn to him. Because we could have said the same thing to Acuna about Freddie. Back in the day, Acuna was not drawn to Freddie. He just wasn't, because Acuna is very, very outgoing when he likes being flamboyant. Even though they say that he's very closed in behind closed doors. But Freddie's always been stoic. Freddie's who you get every single day.
Yeah.
And I love Freddie. But Freddie did make a really dumb decision and took essentially what's all said and done, less money to go to L.A. My walk-off, outside of that whole word salad I just gave you about growing up, my walk-off is taking a look at the coming week. So they played the Mets today at 4. Sunday, 1:40. Two very winnable games because the Mets, and they're at home. But Shawman and I will not be easy. I do think they'll get to the bat. I think they'll get to Severino today. The 4 o'clock game should be, you know, the ball should be flying a little bit. But then they got the big series. Here's the big one. Monday through Thursday this week at home against the Brewers. And in that series right now, it's supposed to be Ashcraft, Montas, Green, and Martinez. You are going to face Peralta on Wednesday and D.L. Hall on Thursday. But I don't feel like a split is suffice enough. I feel like you want to win 3 or 4. I get it. They're leading the division, but I don't look at the Brewers as the division leaders.
Yep.
And it's already coming to fruition, by the way. The Cardinals, I know they're 500, but they're not that good.
Nope.
They're pitching.
It's horrific. Horrific that pitching is bad.
All right, brother. Well, we're going to go ahead and get out of here on this note. Remember to stay put is the best way I can put it. We will see you next time here on Reds Country.
Lansford, good hitting Oakland third baseman, and Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air, foul, off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.